Hey, what's up, all you addicts out there? Welcome to the Addicted Fishing Podcast. We have been really enjoyed recording these. Hopefully, you guys are enjoying them as much as we enjoy making them. If you're watching on YouTube, tap the subscribe button. We got a bunch more of these podcasts as well. You guys can go back and look at them on the YouTube or iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Those are the other platforms that we upload this to. What are we talking today, Springers?
Well, today was the big announcement today. Columbia River Springer seasons have been set, and it ain't pretty.
It's
not as bad as it could be. That's what I always say, though.
Yeah, could be no season.
I was thinking we weren't getting a season.
Yeah. There was rumors. There was rumors going about that, but I think they were trying to juggle basically what they had to do to protect some fish, and you know, we still had 3,800 fish or so to catch on preseason forecast minus buffer. So here we are, and basically what that season came down to be is they've the powers that be, the state of Oregon and Washington, decided that we needed to close the Columbia River from Warrior Rock down to the coast and basically eliminate the fishery down there to let some fish into the Southwest Washington tribs that are projected to be just short of hatchery escapement. So, end of the day, basically there's some rivers that aren't going to be getting their fish back or are projected to not get their fish back. And so every one of those fish count. So with that said, they are going to close the river March 1. And this should be out before March 1. So you guys are listening to this. It's coming. With that said, though, there's still, you know, the Willamette fishery is still going to remain open. And fishing above Warrior Rock should remain open through April 10th, according to the projections.
Which
of fish
people act like, oh, it's going to, that's a decent amount
that's
of
a decent
area.
Amount of opportunity.
There's a decent amount of area.
Especially
in there
through
fish.
April.
We do it all the time, like in other seasons. And then they close the whole Columbia down and everybody jumps up. And then we're all slammed in these two little tiny, tiny areas. And so
way
I don't, it's not going to be no different.
Way more fish when they do that, you don't normally. But
I'll be killing
we'll
some.
April.
Guaranteed.
Yes.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
as long
Springer,
as we get 10 days in April, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and Springers are biters, too. So even though, like, you know, I would rather fish for one Springer than 10 fall fish sometimes.
Yeah.
And Springers,
and they taste better.
They're chewy.
Well, the other thing is too, is like, Josh, you and I, there's been multiple times where we go out after work and there's no one out.
And we don't go below.
And we whack them. And we whack them, and there's no one out there. So I think.
And that's what I think is going to be the. Interesting to see, because you're right. What you said, like we still fish above that line. There's huge components of the fishery.
There's a lot of
you know,
fishery
I-5 there. Bridge, yes. Caterpillar, all these spots that are very popular spots. So don't be all throwing stuff at your iPad or radio or whatever you're listening to us on. But I'm just saying, like, you know, there's real popular spots that are productive as hell, and it's going to be interesting to see how productive those places are when there's not, you know, 1,000, 2,000 boats fishing on the weekends below, because there is that many boats that will head to the Columbia River.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, those fish are getting a free pass all the way up, and then we're fishing on them. It's going to be interesting to see how productive that fishing is.
I think the only downside to me is, like, it cuts out a lot of those really good anchor spots that you know, you go to, you count on every single year.
Oh, yeah.
You have to go to some other ones, but
my favorite troll spot, I mean, I've cut my teeth on that sandbar for the last 15 years, and it's like, yep, I don't get to fish it. So there's a lot of those very good productive areas that are not on the table.
And I'm not so much worried about where we're going to be able to fish. I'm more worried about the conditions and what we're going to get to fish in during that time period.
Oh, yeah. No, we got a good snowpack.
Yeah, do you think we're going to have some high water this year?
I do. I mean, I think we do every year. But one thing about that season going through April 10th, is that, you know, you're going to have a lot longer time period that you got to fish on the Columbia River dam spill, which usually occurs in the first few days of April. They start spilling that water and coming down. And generally, we'll only have to deal with it for about the last 2 or 3 days of the fishery. Well, this year, we might have to deal with it for a week. But, you know, the guys that adapt and are dynamic and know how to back troll and anchor and play that game, I mean, it's you just basically put all those fish tip to tail swimming up the bank somewhere and you're going to get your shots at them.
Yeah. I've had those days where you're, like, rolling real good, like, right into April, and then they do that water.
And you come down to the
and you're
ramp.
Like, oh, my God. We still got a couple fish, but it was definitely nothing like the night before when we were on the river.
Right. No, I remember that. I remember last year. Yeah, it was last year on a Saturday. We come down the bank, same thing. Everyone was actually downstream trolling. We were
so
whooping.
Excited.
And all of a sudden, you're trolling at 4 miles an hour, even in the shallowest of shallow spots. And it's okay. Pull over to the side, slam the jet divers on, take the leads off, slow that presentation down, and go to work on them. And I do they're still there.
Most of my springer fishing I do is plunking, so that high water when it gets all jacked up like that just benefits me. I'm like, oh yeah.
Right.
Especially if the Willamette's puking mud.
Yeah, you dang near just walk out there and set your line in the water.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, it is definitely possible to get a fish like that on its high like that.
So we'll talk about that a little bit, Charles, because that's one of the biggest mistakes I see people making when they're springer fishing on high water years. I've seen so many times where guys, you know, you're watching these dudes line up on the bank and they're huffing it like as far as they can get it out there in the water. And it's like, and then I'm seeing the guys that are catching fish and you think people would take notice, but it's like.
See, I run my line with the depth finder. So what I'm looking for when it's real high, right? Or like when it gets real high, I almost said right now, but when it gets real high, I'll look for that first ledge wherever. And even if it's 5 feet. Wherever it comes and planes out and just dives down a little bit, that will be where I put my first rod at. And, well, it was 2 years ago, I got my first two fish when hardly anybody was catching them. And I was fishing normally where I would probably be standing, and it was like 8 feet of water. And all my buddies were going out deep, and none of them were getting fish. And then they all brought their lines back in. And it literally was just that couple feet in that changed the difference. Yeah. And I brought it in just a little bit, just like 2 feet compared to what they were doing. And I was the only one. I limited out both days. And that, and still after that, nobody touched fish. So
I've got a crazy story. The last day of the season in 2017. And the fishery was already a high water muddy fish. Get ready for cam cast because this is a story.
I was going to say, how do you remember this stuff before you go into this?
Because this story,
I'm trying to think back to like what year was that was we had muddy water like that?
Because in 2017, it was a high water year all the way through. And I remember we were getting fish. Remember going out those anchor spots and we were getting those fish 15 feet of water. And it was pretty consistent like the last week. It was after the rise. And we were getting out there early and whacking. And, you know, like it was, we had a good program. So the last day, I mean, the last day of the fishery, get out to the ramp and we notice, oh crap, Columbia's up 2 more feet than it was the day before. It's like, oh, this is going to suck. We go out there, we get our spots, we anchor, nothing happens like all morning. I get bored, you know, 8:30. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back troll, you know, some of the little spots, see, I'm moving around, doing whatever. Well, Randy calls me and goes, dude, he's like, we just got a fish and we were the inside boat. Anchored. I'm like, oh, nice. Cool. That's good to hear. I've seen like one all day. And so I'm like, yeah, well, let me know if you see anything else. And so he says inside. So I go move what I thought was inside. But then he calls me back like 10 minutes later. He's like, we just missed a bite. And the plunkers inside us just got one. I'm like, no way. He goes, yeah. And I'm like, damn, I see some fish. I go, how much room is between you and the bank? He goes, oh, you can fit like 5 boats in there. And there's 15 boats in that line. 15. There's 3 or 4 guides. Like, it's stacked. Like, people were there for the show. And they're sitting there watching Randy hook fish and these plunkers catch fish. So I'm looking up river and I know where he's at. And I'm like, well, you guys, I'm like, I've heard of like a couple bites. Let's go. And we go motoring up there and we slide right in between. And there was plenty of the plunkers were downstream a little bit. And I parked my boat on the inside. I put the rods out. It wasn't 3 minutes. I had a fish dead in the boat. It wasn't 3 minutes later. I had another fish released. I limited the boat for right there. Just absolute carnage fest. And all those 15 boats sat there and watched. And they could have. This is what's dumb. And like I said, everyone gets kind of set in their ways. And you have to be like dynamic in your thinking of, okay, you've got to be willing to change. You've got to put out the effort to move. Because boats could have anchored for 200 yards down the bank below me and 100 yards above me. There was plenty of room. They could have gone anywhere they wanted. Not one freaking boat moved, and they sat there and ate popcorn. I've watched the show. At noon, I'm like, well, it's raining. We're out of here, guys. See ya. And took off and left. Don't think for a second. And by the way, the depth, 6.5 feet of water.
Yeah. Super shallow, yeah.
So, moral of the story, you're watching 15 boats in a hog line that are scattered from 10 to 30 feet, and the water's high and muddy. You don't see anybody catch anything?
You see that all the time, though. It's like, guys go out and they just dump the anchor. Up. Oh, this is my spot for today.
I'm not moving.
Yep. There's been times where we've caught fish where I didn't want to, like, chop down my leaders or anything and just ran my triple rig in shallow where my top spin glows is spinning on the top of the water. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I'm like, big deal. And just water. Let my bottom two just fish that shallow water and we pick them up that way. But if you want to find these fish, especially off the bank, Don't just run everybody's line out to where you think that the fish are.
Make a Christmas
tree. We stagger that thing. Like, I'll set one in a little bit farther, a little bit farther, a little bit farther, and just put base a kill net out there until somebody starts getting fish.
Right.
And then we all just move there. And then when it stops and the bite stops, then I return everybody to a stagger until we find them, bring everybody in there. And that's how we just stay on them.
And that line changes with tide and changes with, you know, daylight too. Sometimes you'll get them super, super shallow in the morning. They'll move off a little bit as the light comes out. And, you know, I mean, you got it. Yeah, it's not an automatic fishery. It's not.
That's why I like spring fishing though.
Yeah.
Because it isn't automatic.
You find them. It's tough. They're biters. They bite a lot of stupid stuff.
They do.
I don't know. It's pretty crazy
how excited you get when you go out and you only get one fish and you're just pumped out of your freaking mind because you killed one springer.
Yeah.
So
it's last year, I got one and I was running this bait helmet. And I later on, like probably a week later, I realized that I didn't have the line right through the bait helmet or anything. Like, it wasn't even right. And it was just out there, just who knows what it was doing.
Did it catch fish?
Yeah, it caught a fish. And I was like, oh my gosh. I couldn't believe it.
We call that the stally twirl.
Yeah, well, who knows what it was doing, man. I just had a all rigged up dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, those springers, like, they're so bitey. I mean, how many springers have you, like, opened up? And they've got the cut plugs of the heads, or they've got other baits in their belly with smelt holes in them. Smelt, yeah. They're a bitey fish, so you never know.
But I'm excited. I don't want to talk about this now.
Why?
Because I don't want to spring a fish yet.
You don't want to?
Gonna go out and make some passes?
Wait, no.
Got dust off that
maybe
engine.
Like an after work pass or something like that.
Eating so did you talk about, have you said how many like fish they're predicting back and stuff yet? Did you talk about that?
I mean, other than there's, you know, they're thinking about 100,000 back above Bonneville, I think it's like 99.
Yeah, it was 90.
And then almost 50,000 to the Willamette. And that's why, like I said, you know, it was so important to us to be able to fish below the Willamette, because, I mean, one out of three fish entering the lower Columbia are fish destined to either go into the Willamette channel.
Sometimes, though, when the channel gets backed up and the Willamette's really puking, those fish will go past the channel sometimes.
Yeah, they'll go up to
the main. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we catch white-faced fish.
Yeah.
You know, all the time at some of those Washington sides up there, you know, Caterpillar, Davis, and towards Portland, you'll catch those white-faced fish all the time. You know, but where, you know, even above
majority though is probably going
for
to
sure.
the channel.
For
majority
sure.
of the fish. More of the majority of the Willamette fish are going to the channel.
Yeah. If it wasn't, I argue this with a buddy of mine every year, and I told him if it was that productive and they weren't going up that other side, then you wouldn't see everybody on this side right there at the mouth. You would see people hog lined up in there doing circles in their trolling. You don't see anybody in there.
Yeah.
See, I think a lot of fish do. It seems like what I've heard and what, you know, we haven't really had a
high water year.
No. I was gonna say the opposite. We haven't really had a low water, but they say that generally the higher the water, the more the fish are apt to pull into the channel.
Oh, higher.
versus bypassing.
I think they
the channel
get that
Atlanta.
First smell of that water and they just go that direction.
Yeah,
and like there we go.
Well, I mean, it's like you were saying though, it's a productive fishery in there, and there's a lot of boats, and it'll be interesting. Like I said, just like with the Columbia, it'll be interesting to see how productive that Multnomah Channel is going to be, because those fish are not going to get picked off. Like a free ticket right all in there.
Yeah.
We're not down below just smashing on them as they pull up the Oregon side.
Dude, I'm telling you, the Multnomah Channel evening troll is fun.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, 2 o'clock, everyone's all the guys,
like,
and everybody's off the water.
In general.
Yeah. Right?
Evening trolls to me are the best.
Yeah, springers bite all day.
That's been some of my best days.
Keep that in mind, all you podcasters out there listening. Go out in the evening time.
Get off work, the boat, go get the boat, run to the launch, and then you're fishing, and it's nice out. It's usually.
And like Cameron said, too, just because the water's high, don't just go out there and just fish outgoing and then go home. Like, when you got water moving, especially planking, if there's water moving, you're fishing. Like, keep it out there. I've seen times where everybody leaves, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, whatever, like, go for it. But I know better. I know that it's still going to be really productive.
Well, with springer bites, they turn on and turn off on the
wind. Pretty damn quick.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to be there.
Last year, though, the water was high, and I left all my trolling stuff at home, grabbed all my rod holders, ran to my spot that we always get them at, put my rod holders on. I'm like, yeah, we're going to smash today. And I proceeded to watch everybody still out there in 35, 40 feet of water hooking one fish after another. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, went home, loaded up, went home, grabbed all my trolling gear, and got back out there and got fish.
But see, last year was kind of an interesting situation because I do remember, like, the second week of March, trolling in 40 feet of water and catching springers.
It was
early, and it was kind of surprising because I remember I had one day we were, like, 4 for 6, and I was, like, floored. Because, and what did I do? Same thing. Spent all morning pounding 15 to 25 feet, not seeing anything on the finder. Water was still low and green. The runoff hadn't started yet. Conditions were still pretty green and clear.
I think that you're going to see some of that this year.
I think
the,
so.
The runoff's not going to start.
What's that?
The runoff's not going to start.
If it stays cold. Yeah.
Yeah, if it stays cold. Might not be a bad possibly, thing, but we already got a pretty good puke factor going in the Willamette, though. Yeah. And I do remember the water was very, very green. It looked like fall. Until about the third, fourth week of March, and it started turning on. Like I said, it was a 40-foot fishery. And like I said, that day, I still remember it. It was like trolling inside. I'm like, you know what? There's nothing going on here, guys. Let's go make a 40-footer. Made a 40-footer, dropped in, went like 100 feet, buried one, and went, oh!
Child's fishing up river. I was up river, and it was the same exact story. They're all out in areas that in the past 6 years, I'd never seen people fish.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, we would have never fished out
some
there.
Some weird
ever.
Spots last year.
And I think, too, like, sea lions, too. Like, you know, that might have had, you know, the sea lion predation, you know, might be driving those fish down where it wasn't 12 and 15 years ago.
That is true.
So I don't know, but either way, it's something to think about. But, you know, like I said, if you just show up with plunking gear one day, and if you're not out plunking 40 feet, you know,
yeah, good fish luck fish from our beaches, like basically where they shut off from this year, the beaches that are available, you're not finding 40 feet of water unless you run out 200 yards. Yeah. I fished them all up and down. There is not, the water don't get that deep. So.
It doesn't say, I'm
there's
like,
water.
I'm like,
there's
I'm like,
there's
I'm like,
you're insane. You haven't fished them all.
You haven't fished them all, Charles.
There's definitely some spots down there.
Where, yeah. There's one where if you get up to a corner at the very top, you can get close, but that's it.
I know spots that you can go 20 feet off the shore and be in 50 feet of water.
Yeah, I do too.
Are lots of them, and they're in the fall. The guys
just access to be able to just drive up and walk up to them.
Yes.
Charles
is like giving me the. I can't say that, but what the heck are you talking about, boy? Look, I'll text you later.
Right. No, I don't think we should. I think we should keep it.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. If you don't need,
I'll just get a full tank of gas and launch all the way up. Just cruise the shoreline.
Right, good luck with that.
Have fun.
Yeah, we already
I'll
know.
Be steelhead fishing.
We already know, but whatever. Waste your time.
Should we talk a little bit of steelhead fishing? How's the season been for you so far?
Okay, when's this podcast coming out?
March 1st. Before March 1st.
Oh, I can't say anything then. Damn it. No, it's been crappy. It's been tough. I will say the last week, you know, since our snow and our melt, there's been some opportunity. It hasn't been red hot by any means, but this last week has felt like steelhead fishing.
Well, been going I had out. One trip and I got 3 fish, so it must be pretty good.
Yeah. I had an angler today who never caught a steelhead. He'd been trying for a year, and he caught 3 today with me. And
wasn't me, you guys.
It was not.
It was Josh. Don't lie.
No, it's because I would never take Josh. So, okay. No.
Yeah, there's some fish. More fish,
and around. They're wilds,
and
they're,
it's not just in one river; it's in all the rivers.
And that's just spread yourself out.
It's kind of what we've been waiting for.
Yep. I've fished 4 different rivers and found fish in 4 of them. And one thing that is kind of different, though, and you can tell it's changed, is that beforehand we were getting a lot of big fish. Like, really getting a lot of big hatchery fish and a lot of bigger wild fish. I'd say on the bigger side, you know, 10-plus pounds. But then when these numbers have kind of showed up, they've shrank. Lots of 6 and 8.
That's what I've been asking Ben, because he sent me, I mean, he had an epic day, and he sent me a picture of each one, and I was like,
yep. Yeah, but that river that Ben fishes this time of year, typically in the February, that's what I've always seen. Those early fish are smaller. And then once the season progresses, that fish get a lot bigger.
Yeah,
that's what I've always seen on that river.
I don't know if it's an active rootstock or just because those fewer fish. But like even like in the OP, those big fish they show up. Those big fish show up early. And even in your local river, those ones that I got a few days ago, were all not that big. The one we broke off was big, but it wasn't a big enough one. Like, oh yeah, my God, I broke a 20, but it was just, you got around a rock.
Dude, river systems, they don't all have giant, like, that's just a natural occurring, that's just what happens. Like, some fish are big, some fish are small, some fish are medium-sized.
So on the average, all of January and middle of February, it just seemed like you either caught a little 6-pound wild or you're getting some nice 10, 12, 4, up to 14-pound broodstock fish, real nice keeper fish.
Yeah.
And then, just like I said, the last 6 days, it's completely switched. Dude. But the numbers are better. And like I said, I'd rather have a lot of little to actually catch some fish.
Keeps you interested a little bit.
There should be some big ones showing up.
Yeah. I'll let you know tomorrow.
There should be some big boys showing up.
Well, at least there's fish showing up. I mean, it's like I said, it feels like steelhead fishing. I can tell you what, it's a sad state of affairs. And literally ran in the last 6 days, I ran into 7 anglers floating. That's not a lot of people.
No, not at all.
It's you can tell.
I think people just kind of given up on the idea of steelhead fishing right now.
You can tell. Well, and it's been tough. And that's the other thing. If a bunch of people show up, it probably won't be that productive. You know what I mean? Those fish are going to get beat on a little bit, picked off their hatchery fish, you know. So it's, you know, I know some of the guys in the Oregon coast have been doing well. There's been some rivers popping down there. You know, there's opportunities around. But
Washington, all the northern Washington coast, all the rivers are good.
Yeah, they've been getting some dandies. Uh-huh. I've been seeing some nice fish taken out for pictures of.
So I mean, we still got 3 weeks, 3 weeks of the season ish. Yeah, but you know, easily. Well, 3.5 weeks.
In Southwest Washington.
Southwest Washington, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's a good sign. I mean, it's better than I've ever seen it all year. Oh, God. Here we go.
I'm going to play hide and seek with a damn stick. Cool.
Marlon's talking about shed hunting. Ben's talking about smallmouth fishing. I'm like, what about springers?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, we've got a pretty interesting springer season, and I do think it's going to turn into a slaughter.
As soon as you guys
I'll probably
get
just
out.
Go shed hunting once and get one giant, and then.
Yeah, I'll just be like, as soon as
you guys go
you're
out
like
start,
the guy
actually.
Goes out and gets a 25 pound steel his first time. He's like, yeah, cool.
As soon as you guys go out and actually start catching a couple of springers,
then Marlon will come.
Then I'll go.
Then you'll come. Just wait for the
reward. You guys but
then,
go put it in
once
the work,
steelhead
dude.
Season's over, I'm going to shed hunting.
Your cell phone will ring about 10 o'clock. Where you at? You getting them? Yeah. All right, I'm on my way.
That's after he burns freaking 2 hours worth of gas to go find a freaking shed.
God. It's so worth it.
It is?
Yep. It's like winning the lottery.
What have you done with all those sheds?
One.
Where are they all at?
Look this
at
is them. It right here. 3 years right. worth.
Three.
There's,
oh, my God.
No, they're just... It's just an awesome feeling when you find one.
It is cool when you find
it's
it.
It's an awesome
one.
Feeling. You're just jealous, bro. Jealous of my life.
The last shed I found, I was actually hunting, and I stepped on an elk shed that was, like, in some Oregon grape. And it, like, stuck my leg. I went, oh, cool, yeah, shed.
I'll never
back
forget
to
that.
It was
that
literally
day
that
you
long.
Called him, and you're on the river, and we went shed hunting. He's like, you guys getting here? We're like, no. He's like, dude, you won't believe it. I was back bouncing a plug. And it felt like I hooked up on something. I reeled it in. There was a shed on it.
No way.
You said that. Yeah.
I was like, shut up. You're like, yeah, I'm just kidding.
Who said that?
You did.
No, I
did.
Yeah, I swear.
You're like, oh,
yeah, I don't remember that.
No, you know, man. I know more about shed hunting. He's like, I'm out here fishing, and I found a shed.
And then I take Jordan. Dude, literally, he's like, I'll find a shed on this island, guaranteed. I'm like, you're not going to find a shed on the island. And they take off in the freaking woods, and they find a 3-point white
tail. Oh, my
shed.
Gosh.
I couldn't freaking believe it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And then the first time I ever take Josh, he walks 20 freaking feet and finds the biggest shed I've ever seen in my life.
Monster.
I only find fish sheds.
No, you don't find
You guys will find out about that.
You
later.
Guys will find out about that. Addicted Alaska too.
That's coming.
It's
There's
coming.
Some good progress coming on that thing.
I cannot wait. I'm going to make sure that I sit down with Sean, our editor, and go through and make sure that the, we'll just call it the moose shed scene. I'm going to leave it at that. Leave you guys in suspense. Is done correct. And I'm going to make sure that
the moments leading up to
exactly.
it.
Right. We're gonna tease this up right. It's so good.
Yeah, so all you people out there listening, we're shooting for an April launch for Addicted Alaska 2. That's what we're shooting for now.
Do it on April 10th.
Yeah. It'll be, we're thinking right after springer season is what we're actually thinking. So we're shooting for an April launch. We'll hopefully have some more details on that soon. There's a potential there might be a trailer coming out this weekend.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yes.
That'll be sick. I'm excited. Sick. That's going to be good. It's going to be real good.
I can't wait. So, yes, be excited. Addicted Alaska 2. We're going to do 3 city premiere this time. As long as you guys come out and support it, we will do it. So we're thinking Portland, Vancouver, and Seattle will be the 3.
Yeah, for all those guys like, I wish you'd come here. Like, okay, we're going to, so you better.
I don't know, I kind of like when the guys drive from Seattle.
Yeah.
No, that's just cool.
That's pretty awesome.
I think we can show them some love, too.
But we're going to come out there, hopefully, and do a premiere out there as well. So
yeah,
that'll
be on the lookout for when we start promoting that. Also, a lot of you guys came out. I was super stoked to see so many of you guys coming to the Sportsman Show and saying that you heard about the 3 sample that I talked about in the podcast. So it was crazy to see that many people heard it in the podcast. So there's a lot of you guys out there listening. Let us know how you guys have liked those jig heads. We are already working on a few changes to them as far as colors go and making sure that the paint on the heads is a little bit more durable. A few little things on them. A few guys have talked about making one without a keeper. The nice thing about those keepers, if you guys are out there listening and you have those must-set things, is you literally just take your pliers, bend them a couple times, and that keeper's gone. Like, you can take it off.
You can always take it off, but you can't put it on if it's not
exactly. You can take it off the shank super, super easy if you want to, if you're a guy out there that doesn't like the keeper. So lots of cool things coming from must-set.
With that flat head, too, it's real easy. If you're a gluer, you have a nice surface to glue to, and so that you don't even need a keeper, and you can do whatever you want with it.
Exactly.
Tell you what, the keeper is fish approved, though.
I like it. That thing works amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So lots of cool things coming from Mustad, so be on the lookout with that, guys. We have partnered with Mustad. It's official. There's some press releases and stuff coming out on it, and we're excited about it. We think that it's going to be a great relationship, and they are willing to listen to anglers and fishermen and build and create products that we want and things that we want to use. And so,
yeah, I mean, let's tell the story here a little bit. I mean, those jig heads were literally because how they do their paint process is they wanted to do so many jig heads. And honestly, it wasn't exactly what we wanted. So then we felt the opportunity to be able to test those out and give those to you guys and make sure that the paints were right, make sure that the hooks were right, make sure that, you know, people found success with them.
Yep.
And so far, like I said, if I get a bobber down on that worm, the hooks are good.
Yeah, exactly. Good. So,
and we've known that, but that's the thing. You know, we are spending this season, just like we always do, just testing the product, and we're not going to release anything unless it is freaking right. And we've got a lot of work, even all, and I'll throw a little teaser out there. Let's just say we were doing a lot of stuff during the old twitching season, too. So yes,
there was a lot of twitching being tested.
Yeah, and we're super excited about it, and we've molded it, you know, to where, like I said, what anglers want, it's what we want.
And the cool thing as well is the product designer from Mustad is a badass. He's a fisherman, he understands fishing, and he's already created a lot of really cool stuff. And he works with a lot of really smart anglers around the country, like Kevin Van Dam, and just some of these guys that have been fishing their whole lives. So it's going to be a super awesome relationship. We're excited about it. And if you guys have any ideas or things that you think needs innovation in the fishing world or in the angling community in the Northwest, Mustad is listening, and they want to create things for Northwest anglers. So let us know.
I think what everybody wants to know is about that AF7, bro. Yeah.
That's coming. It's no longer the AF7.
No, so it won't be an AF7 anymore.
We're going to scratch the hell out of that name. But there is a Addicted Fixed Float coming. In the works. A new iteration. We've taken advice from some of you guys out there, some things Cameron wanted to change, some things that we wanted to add to it, and it will be a better version than the one that we had before, and it will be launched in July. So hopefully you guys
I want one now.
Are excited about that.
Yeah.
Right now.
I know. I know.
I'm July. Excited for that.
July is when we're hoping to have it out, as long as everything goes.
Yeah, as long as we get some of those prototypes here within the next month, we can test them. We can test them on some summers. Yep. Make sure they fish well.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yep.
Exciting.
Instead of just like, you see like half these companies, they come out with something and it's like, hey, we're launching this week, and then now it's for sale.
Yeah,
right. So, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, well.
No.
Yeah.
No. We spend a year, sometimes longer, if we need to make it right. Full season. So Also, thanks to all the people that did come out to the Sportsman Show. Yes. It was awesome to be able to shake all your guys' hands. We had a bunch of new apparel.
It's a party.
All that stuff, and it was a blast. And you guys came out by the hordes and supported. I know the snow and the ice and all that bull crap made
it. Didn't slow our guys down.
Yeah. No, not at all.
They definitely deterred some people, but you guys all came out, so it was a good time. A lot of people have asked, are we putting out the Sportsman Show shirts on the website? People have been asking them like crazy. Yes, we are going to release the Haunted by Waters tee and the Pac-Man shirt on the website. It's coming soon. Probably early.
Probably when you have this listening to it, it's probably out.
Yes. Good job, Mark. Probably when
way
you,
to go.
Probably when you hear this podcast, it potentially could be launched on the website. So
there you go.
Stay tuned for that as well. We're going to try to launch. Me and Mike were talking about doing like a snowpocalypse sale. Just because there was a
snowpocalypse.
I mean, attendance was down at the Sportsman Show. Like, I thought they said like 30% or something. So people, I mean, there was some areas, not necessarily around us, but there was areas that got a lot of snow that people couldn't drive and they couldn't get here and they couldn't come. So we want you guys to be able to get the stuff that we had at the show as well. So we'll have it available on the website very soon. Any other updates? You guys got anything else? We want to tell them.
Next podcast.
More
bluetail worms coming.
More bluetail worms coming. More worms coming in general.
Worms. Lots of worm colors. We also are working on a few other products with Mad River that I'm super freaking excited about. So
probably beads.
There will be no beads.
No beads.
Not by me. Cameron and Popoff might be cooking up some ideas for some beads, but I can tell you that I'm not going to be a part of that.
Designed by Marlon.
Marlon's personal stash.
There might be some things that potentially kind of look like beads, but we don't call them beads. And we'll see. Just stay tuned.
Don't leave it out.
Just stay tuned. Ooh. Just stay tuned.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Fun. Lots of fun stuff coming. Yep. We're excited about it. So.
And 1.1 million coho. And I get giddy.
Ooh, yeah, right.
So I don't know if you guys have heard that. For those of you guys listening, big coho forecast. The saving grace of the Columbia.
We're going to have to film Fishing Isn't Peaceful number 2.
Oh, God. Every day.
Yes.
I could still remember the last time having a million fish. I was trolling 6 guys in the river in September, 3 rods out. Don't even bother. 4th, 5th, and 6th. Just great. Even if that forecast comes in half, it'll be good. So a lot of saving grace there. You know,
the Chinook season,
something to be super excited.
Was predicted better as well.
Yep, it was.
More fish
If you drill the numbers down, though, it's better, but it's less upriver brights. So
I'll take a million coho.
It is the overall number is better, but the upriver bright number is smaller. Not by much, but it is.
That's fine.
So. I if you like banging toolies, whatever.
My favorite to bonk.
No, I mean lower right. There's other ones in there too.
Mike's a toolie.
Hey, but positive. Positive.
We're trying to get back on the every single week launching one of these podcasts. Yep. So shout out to Clint. You guys got to give Clint a shout out. Thanks a lot for helping us get these things back up and going.
Garden Frugal.
Just send him a thank you on Facebook or whatever. He's been a huge instrument in helping us keep these live feeds rolling and podcasts and all that.
We love you, Clint.
Shout out to Clint. And hopefully we can get back in the swing every Wednesday. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Yeah.
Make sure you guys leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Leave us a review. Let people know that they love this podcast and that you love it. And subscribe and all those other cool things that I always ask you to do.
That way, guys. Subscribe on YouTube.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you on the river.
Later, guys.